warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting here in studio with the man, David Niles. And I just got to say, happy birthday to Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Your daughter turned three this last week.
Perfect number.
The Trinitarian number.
Yeah.
She did awesome, like, making sure all the wrapping paper was off each individual present as she was opening it.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
My sons were over there just like hyenas at raw meat, just trying to get over there because they wanted to rip these things open so bad. And I was like, nope, calm down, guys.
Oh, man. Them and every other toddler, preschooler in the place, it was like...
Because we probably had like...
And you know what? I caught myself doing it too. Like, let me help you with that. Like...
You're going too slow.
No.
Let her. It's her turn.
She can do it. She's doing fine.
Yeah. Well, happy birthday, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
We love you.
She's a very detailed present unwrapper.
I wonder where she gets it from.
Probably Pamela.
Oh, man. So if this is your first time...
Isn't that weird? Because I'm not really a detailed person.
No, but you're very OCD, ADD type of, like, on certain things.
Yeah, in certain ways, on certain things.
You are.
I'm actually less than I used to be.
That's true. That's true. In high school, you were a mm-hmm. lot more.
Yeah.
So, if this is your first time listening to the Catholic Man Show, welcome. We do three things every episode. This segment, we open, review, and enjoy a man beverage, which I am like, I know we say this all the time.
But this time, we mean it.
Not that we weren't meaning
it. Not that
it
we
last
don't mean it before, but like, we really, really mean it this time.
We're extremely excited about our man beverage. The second segment, we highlight a man gear. In the last two segments, we talk about a manly topic, just kind of whatever Dave and I want to talk about, what's going mm-hmm. on.
Yeah.
So without further ado, maybe we should jump into the beer.
Let's do it. I cannot think of any good reason to
to wait any longer. So this beer was sent to us by Randall Claire.
Adam thinks it's Claire. I told him, I think it might be Claire.
It's probably Claire, but I just...
It's C-L-E-R.
Right. So
is Randall's last name.
So anyway, Randall sent us this beer. It's from St. Sixtus Abbey in Belgium. It is... what was it? Westy 12? Isn't that what it's called?
It is a Westy 12.
A Westy 12. And you can only get this beer... it can only be purchased at the Abbey by appointment.
In person, is what
he said. And... It is known, it is considered by most, is what he said in his letter, the best beer in the world. So, that is why we're extremely excited about this.
Yeah.
It's very interesting, Dave. Before I get into the history of it, why don't we, I'd like to drink it, and then we can talk about history.
I also want to drink it.
Okay. Oh, we have Juan here as well. Juan is
in the peanut gallery.
In the peanut gallery. So he's going to have the opportunity to try the beer as well. So we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers to Jesus and our mother. Okay, so I'm going to let you do it. I'm going to exercise a little bit of
virtue.
Virtue in general.
Yeah.
And wait.
We don't know what it is. Just say, like, I'm being virtuous right now.
Being virtuous. I'm just going to offer up this time.
Which virtue.
I really want it, but I'm going to hold off. So, when St. Sixtus Abbey was started, apparently a monastery was started in this location three different times, like in the 800s, and then somewhere in the 1215s, somewhere between 1200 and 1500, and then again in the 1800s. And as they were making, like building the abbey, they were supposed to give beer to each construction worker, 2 beers a day. And so the monks realized, like, you know what would be best is to just start brewing our own beer, because this is costing us way too much money to like give them beer, 2 beers each every day. Why don't we just like start brewing our own, and then plus we can have a little bit of it.
Yeah,
you know. So they started brewing this beer, and that's how this brewery got started, is because they decided like we really need to cut down on the construction costs, and so let's start brewing our own.
I wonder if I can. I wonder if I can make that same argument with my wife, Pamela. We need to do this to save money.
Well, wow, this is really good.
Yeah. Phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
The issue is that most people don't get paid by beer anymore.
I wish I could get paid in gum.
That was a good commercial.
Yeah. Nobody ever pays me in gum.
Yeah, this beer is really good. Dave, tell me your thoughts.
Oh, super good. It kind of was... There's like a surprising tingly flavor going on. The nose, I kind of thought there might be more on the nose. But to be fair, I was expecting like a stout. I knew it wasn't a stout. Mm-hmm. Or like a quad. Mm-hmm. But that's when I think of the best beer in the world, you know, that's actually the kind of beer I think about. So I had to just spend some time with my nose in the glass to get rid of that. Not a whole lot of aroma that I picked up, but that's okay. It's packed with flavor.
Yeah. Hazelnuts, piney taste almost. And it has a little, like, I know this sounds, maybe this is just me, but I have like a cherry taste at the end. Do you have a cherry taste at the end at all?
I do not.
Okay. Maybe it's just me, but I definitely
could
have
be the Hertz donuts or the cake or
that you've been eating
at the birthday party. Just
maybe
now.
Like dulling your sweet taste.
Right. Yeah. Or maybe maybe you had something that's still like,
maybe that's it.
Hidden on your palate.
You should definitely cheers, Randall, for giving us these two delicious beers.
Randall, I raise my glass to you. I thank you.
You need to actually raise it if you're going
to. I thank you for your generosity. You have given us a gift that we would otherwise not have probably in our entire life. And I lift you up and your actions as an example for the rest of humanity, that they too might go at great length to send us delicious beer. May you be blessed.
Cheers, Randall. I loved it. Oh, man. So this is a...
But seriously, Randall.
Yeah, seriously. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Because I have no plans to go to Germany anytime or Belgium anytime soon.
Yeah, me either.
Is Germany part of Belgium? Is that a stupid question? Maybe it's a stupid question.
Yeah, it is.
Is it part of Germany?
No, it's not.
It's a very
stupid question.
Okay, it's not.
It's a very stupid question.
It's a stupid question. I thought that was the case, but I just didn't know. Yeah. I just didn't know.
I understand. I get it. I'm not great at geography either.
Because there's a lot. I mean,
short-term memory was what I was all about when it came to geography.
Yeah, dude. Oh, geography. I am the worst.
Man, I was so looking forward
to... Did you know Reno is further west than L.A.?
I have heard that
Reno,
before.
Reno, Nevada.
Nevada. Yeah, I have heard that before.
Incredible.
Yeah. The high quality stuff you get here.
It's absolutely incredible.
I was really looking forward to this, though, man. Like, this week has been a crazy week for the Minahan house. Like, you know, you just go through these spurts as a parent with kids, and they're learning things, you know, learning behaviors that they're supposed to do and not
good
do.
Good and bad.
Good and bad. Yeah. And, you know, you're trying to gear them towards the good, obviously. And it is the forging process of saint making is very tough.
Sometimes you got to spank it into them.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's been a tough week. So I'm always happy that this is like the beginning of the week for us. You know, we record on Sunday night, so it's like the beginning of the week. It kind of gets me back on track.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of an outlet for me. So I was really looking forward to obviously this great beer, but just kind of taking a deep breath and saying, okay, we made it through that last week. It was kind of a tough one.
But so is it living up to everything you hoped for?
What, parenting?
No. This moment.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, so far.
Good. Yeah, good.
So far, yes. I mean, I don't know. We still have three segments, so.
Totally. I mean, Juan's here, so that's a plus.
Went hog hunting this week.
Did you do it with a knife and a dog?
No, I did not pull the Father Mitch Pacwa, which, you know what? I don't know if I would or not, man. It takes a lot of guts. Oh, like if you see see these wild,
they'll kill you.
Yeah, they're legit, and they smell, and you know they're legit. They're just legit.
They're disgusting animals,
right? And
you know that you don't eat them.
No, wild ones you do not. Do not eat them. I asked that because I wasn't sure, and they're like, no, you don't want to eat these.
It's like you think catfish have a gross diet?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah,
you know these things.
You know how they make the pins to trap them. They're like the hog traps. They soak corn in diesel, and then lay the corn out there because that way it keeps the corn there from all the crows and cows and everything else from eating it. But the pigs, they don't care. They will eat the corn with diesel on them. So you soak this corn up, and these pigs. They don't care.
Will they survive anyway?
Yeah, like, they survive.
No big deal.
No big deal.
Yeah, I drink diesel for breakfast.
Oh, Randall, thank you so much for giving us this beer. When we get back, we're going to decide on the man gear. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles here with Adam Minahan. We are in studio. The Peanut Gallery has Juan Posada, the one and only John Paul the First. John Paul the First. Well, he's one of many John Paul the Firsts, I would imagine. Anyway, today's man gear.
We're jumping right into it?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. You want to recap what we were drinking?
Not yet.
Okay.
Today's man gear is a world map. A map of the whole world. Some call it a globe when it's wrapped around a ball. Sometimes it's not a globe when it's flat on your wall.
It could be 2D or 3D.
I just rhymed. I made a poem, guys. I've been working on my poetry.
Well, no wonder like the Catholic arts have just been in a complete decline. That showcases
I'm bringing them back. you know it.
I like.
I'm going to convert Jay-Z, and he and I, we're going to bring back the whole Catholic, the Catholic poetry game.
Okay.
Or maybe another rapper. I don't know.
That was just the only rapper.
I don't really know the rapper scene very well anymore.
Yeah, I don't either.
Back when I was in it, Jay-Z was pretty cool. I don't know if he still is. I think he is. He's married to Beyonce.
Yeah, I'm not. We're not going to get into that. Anyway, so the maps. Let's talk about maps.
Good
for a
idea.
Second. I have a map right here, right behind me.
In the studio.
In the studio.
Yeah.
It's not a world map, but it is a map of the Bible, like lands of the Bible.
Uh-huh.
And so it showcases all where St. Paul traveled, where a lot of the apostles traveled. It gives an idea of what where the Holy Land is, where the Sea of Galilee is, you know, so you can kind of have an idea. I think that's very important when reading the Bible, is having the idea of where is everything that we're talking about.
You know what? It totally makes a difference. Like when we did the Bible timeline, and you know, we could with Jeff Cavins, and you actually, you know, you get maps as part of the material, and you're like, oh, then Jesus went like over here. It's just right there.
Right.
It's like right next door. And that's why he was doing all, you know, kind of like puts a lot together. It takes it from just like, oh, here's stories that are in this order.
It brings it to life.
Right, yeah, like, oh, that makes sense. I get why he was talking about that in the first place, because that's where they are, and like, that's the sea.
Right.
So when they had to go across, it was a big deal, because he's like, that's a... You can't just walk all the way around.
Well,
he could
just walk across.
Jesus, he could do stuff.
He could just walk across it.
He had skills.
He did. He had a lot of skills.
Major skills.
But you know what? I like maps not only for the fact of biblical, like when you're reading.
Yeah.
But I also like them just as decoration. Like I have maps even downstairs in my living room. That it's used for decoration. To me, it looks. I don't know. I mean, it looks.
Yeah, I think they are a good
prestigious
decoration.
Prestigious, or I don't
one
know,
of the coolest prestige. Decorative maps I've seen is one of my buddies at work. He has a map of Europe, and I asked him about it, and he said it was came off of the inside lining of his grandfather's World War II jacket. They would put like the inside lining. You know, it's like nylon or whatever, but it would have a map of Europe on the inside of their jacket. So
if they ever get lost,
they didn't have to carry a map, because all they did was you just take your jacket off
and
look at the inside. And so he took the lining out and had it mounted. It's
brilliant.
Super, super cool.
That is really cool.
And it was like cool because there's a story behind it. You know, it's not just, oh yeah, that's a sweet map of Europe. No, it's like, no, yeah, that's my grandfather's map of Europe, you know? Right.
Yeah, that is really cool.
Yeah.
When I was in the office the other day, I pulled out a map of Kansas because I was doing some cold calling over there, and so I was trying to figure out exactly where everything was, and I wanted to have it bigger than just on my little laptop. So yeah. I pulled out this big map, and my boss made fun of me. He's like, "You guys even know how to? You guys even remember how to use one of those things? You know, because you know today, oh, we have. I got to tell you, this is something that really upsets me about myself, is that." When I first started learning how to drive, it was right when the cell phone game like came into existence.
Yeah,
right.
Like the game Snake,
like the Snake Nokia cell phones and Sony Ericssons. Yeah. Remember the Sony Ericsson?
Yeah, dude. Man, my first one was an Ericsson.
Yes. I used to know my directions really well. I mean, I knew, and I was 16. You know, I hadn't driven very many places, but I could still remember how to get places.
Sure.
Now I am not a good driver.
And it's not a good navigator.
Navigator.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for correcting me. Because those are two totally different things.
They are different. Yeah.
Yes. I'm not a good navigator. And it's because I've relied so heavily on my GPS system on my phone that I actually did, whenever I was looking at my Kansas map, I was kind of like looking and being like, okay, I got to make sure that this is actually where the interstate, you know, I'm looking for, you know, I-20. Where is I-20? You know, and I'm just like, trying to remember where it is on, you know, on the actual map, because I'm so used to just plugging it in and hitting go.
Yeah, baby boomers, you can tell them an interstate and they can they can get really close to knowing what state it's in. If you say, where is I-60? Because they know, oh, well, it starts over on the East Coast. I think it's the East Coast. See, I'm not a baby boomer, so I'm not 100% sure, but I know that it goes like this. It's like I-1. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Well, I know I-5 is on the West Coast.
Okay, so maybe it's on the West Coast. I mean, I just know that
I-5 runs all the way up and down.
They go in order or something. I would have guessed they started on the East Coast, but
I-5 is on the West Coast.
There's a system.
Right.
And we don't know what it is, okay?
We're sitting here talking about, we don't know what it is.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what? GPS, it's like sin. It makes you stupid.
And the more you use it,
the dumber you are.
that really does frustrate me.
I did see a map though the other day, and I was laughing at it. Like, what is this? Is this a map? So you know, like, what is this?
Yeah,
1999.
Yeah, until like all of our cell phone towers go down, and we're all trying to figure out where the heck to go.
Yeah, exactly. Until the EMP hits, and all of the preppers say, "Told you so." But anyway, I thought Juan made a good point about having a map, showing it for your kids, about how you can kind of give your children a sense of, we are just a small piece of this great, great big world, you know, and that, look, this is where we are, but there's people all over, and, you know, we are not the whole world here.
That's something I think we definitely as Americans struggle with in and of itself. Is,
I mean, we're the best part of the world.
There's the American arrogance that everybody's looking for. but you're right. I mean, it does kind of give an idea of how small we are. But yet, how universal we are.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, there's Catholic churches over here and over here and over, you know,
sure.
And you can point them all out to your kids.
Yeah, I mean, that would be tough on a world map to point out.
Well, I'm just saying, churches, like, there's Catholic churches over here, there's Catholic churches over here, you know, as you're pointing towards different places and showing them where Rome is, like where Italy is.
Yeah.
And I think that would be important.
Mm-hmm. Even better to go there.
Man, I can't wait to go there someday.
You have to, man.
If you guys want to pay for me, I'm in.
All you got to do is put together the, you know, if you put together, you know, if you get 30 some people to go, like you get to go for free.
I'm not going to do that. Probably won't do that.
You could save like $5,000.
Yeah. I just don't feel like I want to do that.
Yeah. That it just seems like a lot of work. So,
I just don't like pushing it. I just don't like pushing it constantly.
Yeah, it is. It's a big thing. But anyway, I used to have a world map in my room.
You did?
Yeah, it was really big.
Our buddy Charlie loves maps.
Yeah, he does.
He loves maps. Every time that I used to work with him, and he used to, like, as soon as he'd get into the office, you know, when he first started, he'd throw up he had all these maps all around him. He wanted to know exactly where everything was. He's a very mapaholic.
Did not know that was a thing. But I guess it is. Why isn't it? Why couldn't it be?
Yeah.
So the world map that I had, it also had all the flags at the bottom.
Oh, and you had a pin? No,
it just was like along the bottom, you know.
Oh, okay.
Just had all of the flags of the world, which is pretty cool. Flags are also another thing that I think people today, they're totally lost on. You know, flags.
Well, because they all almost look the same. They're all like, you know, they have, right, like, but we have like two color systems.
Yeah,
with
there's
flags.
The, like, red, white, and blue. Is
yeah, and
the
then the yellow, green, and red, or you know, yellow and green with something else.
But all of those colors they mean stuff. And the flag, you should be able to look at a flag and know something about the country based on the flag. I can't do that just because.
No, I can't either.
I use GPS.
That's why.
Yeah,
you think
that's
why?
Exactly why.
Hmm.
If I didn't use GPS, I would possess this knowledge. But I do. I'm a GPSer.
You're a GPSer.
I feel like I'm at an AA meeting almost.
Do you have any maps at your house? Do you have any maps like that you have on your wall?
No.
I can't recall any.
No. When I had lived in my house for about 2 years when someone first said, you know, I think a picture would look really good on this wall. And it, like, blew my mind. I, like, wide-eyed looked around the house, and I was like, the idea of decorating had literally never occurred to me.
2 years in.
And I looked around, and every single wall was bare. I had a crucifix in every room, but there was not a sink. And it just had, I had never even thought about doing that. What a crazy idea. So Pamela has decorated the whole house. It looks wonderful.
Yeah, she's done a great job.
It's better that way.
It is. Just stay out of it.
It really is.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. You know, we've been talking about different regions of the world. We're here in studio with our Viaggi candle lit. And let me tell you guys, Mother's Day is coming very soon. It's approaching quickly. And if you're like me, a lot of times I don't know what to get my mom. I'm not very good at picking out presents for my mom. I'm going to be honest with you.
Hmm.
It just, she has basically everything she needs or wants.
Yeah, I'm not good at picking out presents for myself.
Yeah,
I mean, like if I had to, like, you know, Christmas comes, you should make a list. You know, you can give it to people. It's kind of a courteous thing to, like, hey, here's, if you can't think of anything, here's some suggestions. Like, I can't do that.
Yeah, I can't do that. So anyway, if you're like me, you go to Viaggi Candles. We have ours lit. They're awesome candles, handmade.
They're getting ready to come out with some new ones.
They're coming out with some new ones soon. But if you use Cheers,
Christian sent us an email.
Yeah. I'm trying to tell you about it.
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay. If you use the promo code Cheers, you get 20. Is it 20 or 25? 20% off. You get 20% off, and not only do you get 20% off, but $5 come back to us.
That's pretty good.
So you get 20% off and know that $5 comes back to us to help support our Catholic radio station.
So if you're going to buy a candle, that would be the prudent thing to do would be to use the promo code.
Absolutely.
Which is big, you know, that's important because today's topic is prudence. I just want to say that the last segment, the man gear, we picked the maps. And we kind of did that because in the first segment we realized we have no idea about geography. And we didn't say that.
Correct.
Yeah, so it's not like we knew in advance what the man gear was going to be and we're making fun of ourselves. That's just the way it all played out.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
The virtue of prudence.
The virtue of prudence, yes.
Okay, let's talk about it.
It's a very big deal. Before we do there, I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
I'm going to learn the bagpipes.
Okay.
I'm doing it.
Oh.
Okay.
I ordered a chanter.
You did?
I'm looking at my email. Just got shipped.
Sweet.
Should be here any day.
Sweet.
I'm going to be bagpiping it up, man.
I'm pumped for you.
My hope is that you'll be able to hear it from your house.
Yeah. I'm so excited about
when I'm playing inside.
Okay.
Okay.
I will call the cops on you.
It'll be awesome.
No. Keep going.
Let's go. Cops will show up and they'll salute me. Because right. You just kind of have the natural urge to do that.
When
the bagpipes are being, it's like, stand up straight.
Yeah.
Something honorable is going. Taking place. Yeah.
All right. Let's get into prudence. The virtue of prudence.
Okay. I have to just say,
where do you want to start?
The
beginning. This is your topic.
The beginning is a very good place to start. It's a prudent place to start in the beginning.
Okay.
So whenever I think about prudence, I always think about this children's book that I had growing up called Prudence Goes Potty. A little girl, she learned to go potty, and it's recently come back into my life.
Okay.
Now that I have small children. So I don't know if anybody else out there is with me on that, but...
Probably not. Do you want to, like, define prudence? Is that where you want to start?
Do you have the notes I sent you?
Yeah. The catechism.
I just want to make sure.
Yeah. The catechism says the virtue of prudence, which disposes a person to discern the good and choose the correct means to accomplish it. Aquinas says I love quoting St. Thomas Aquinas. He says it's right reason applied to action.
Yeah.
And St. Augustine says prudence is love discerning aright, that which helps from that which hinders us in tending to God.
Love discerning aright, that which helps from which hinders us in tending to God.
Yeah.
So like
sorry, that was just a little
making sure that we're judging the right things because everything we do should be
right. Because okay, so
getting
when
us to heaven.
So whenever I think of prudence, like I think of prudence sometimes as a guy who can't make a decision, can't make the a tough decision because I the experiences I guess that I've had is that people try to use I just want to make sure that I'm making a prudent decision here.
Oh, and they kind of use it as
they use it as a scapegoat is what they use. They use it as like, I'm buying more time.
An excuse not to act.
Right. And so in my mind, I have this idea of a prudent guy is somebody who's not willing to take action. Yeah. And that's not what prudence is.
No, I don't hang out with those kind of people. So
that's good.
It's not the example.
I don't get to choose who I get to hang out with in business world.
Yeah. So when I think of prudence, I typically think of wisdom. You know, making good choices. I mean, just like not necessarily someone who struggles to make choices, but just maybe doesn't make very good choices. You know, it's like you really should have thought about that before you went and just did it.
Okay.
Which is kind of interesting. Prudence has a slow and a quick element to it, which I would like to talk about. But before we do, I think there's an important element, you know, in just defining prudence that upon my studies, I came across that I really, really liked.
Okay.
This is from a guy, Christoph Schönborn. He says, prudence is the proficiency of grasping reality correctly and deciding and acting accordingly. Grasping reality correctly. And it's like, okay, that's or interesting.
Grasping truth correctly.
Yeah. But that really intrigued me. And so I, you know, was reading about this. This is what he says. Modern morality tends to proceed mainly from moral obligation, from the commandments, from duty. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we think morality, we have an obligation to do something. It separates obligation from being. That is, duty is to be done because it is duty, not because it is appropriate behavior that does justice to reality.
Huh. Okay.
Okay. You see the difference there.
Right.
A different view is offered by classical Christian morality. In order to do good, we must know reality. Someone who does not know how things are cannot do the good. And that's the very end. That's from Joseph Pieper.
Yeah. So he has a book called The Four Cardinal Virtues. Have you read that before?
He's got a couple books that are just
on
like...
leisure.
Yeah, his book on leisure. It's like nobody else has written a book on it because he already did.
Right.
You know, it's like,
I have nothing to...
There is nothing left unsaid.
Right. Yeah. So I think... with prudence, it comes down to, we've talked about this before sometimes, Dave, is making sure to have that conversation with almost with yourself ahead of time of if I get put in this situation,
yeah.
I'm going to act this way.
Uh-huh.
And this is how I'm going to handle this situation. And no more thinking about it. Like, this is just, it becomes a reaction.
Yeah. Because you've thought about it before already. Mm-hmm. And you know, you can't really think about every situation, but there are many, many things that, you know, all right, this might happen.
Right.
You know, and so what am I going to do when it does happen? Having that conversation is
very
allows you to react more instinctively instead of like panic. Cause that's what'll happen to me is, you know, like something will happen, especially social situations where someone might be treating someone else, very poorly in front of me.
Mm.
And all of a sudden I kind of like, sometimes I'll freeze because I'm not sure if it's my place to step in here. And you know, like, who are these two people? Who is putting the other one down? Like, does he have authority? You know what I'm saying? And it's like, what is the situation? It's different if it's a man treating a woman poorly, like that's easier for me to step in. But you know, if it's not that, you know what I'm saying? So
no,
having thought about certain things in advance, I know, no, this is not okay with me.
Right.
I already know this.
And I think that prudence is a big deal that helps with our disordered appetites. You know, knowing thyself as a man is a very important thing. And our disordered appetites are something that we've gained through the fall, the sin of man.
Yeah.
And you and I know that, okay, for me personally, I struggle with this, this, and this. And you struggle with, you know, X, Y, and Z. Well, I struggle with this because if I get to this point in my life and then something else happens, then I fall into X. And prudence is being able to say, okay, I know that I'm weak here, here, and here. And I typically go down this road in my life that lands me at X, Y, or Z.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to make sure that this is not what I'm going to be doing that leads me down this road to X, Y, or Z.
Yeah. But I just thought it was so interesting, this one line about obligation being separate from how we separate obligation from being, and how it says it's not, you know, we might do something out of duty, not because it's appropriate behavior that does justice to reality. And like, that's, he kind of implies that that's really the better reason to act. Not, I mean, you should do something because you have a duty to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if someone in authority over you tells you, okay, you should do it. But a greater reason to do it is because your actions are appropriate and they do justice to reality.
They do justice, yeah. Yeah, but in order to do that, you have to have, it's almost like an intellectual and a heart thing with prudence. You have to understand intellectually and heart that I'm going to to work on prudence or exemplify prudence in this situation. Yeah. You have to know intellectually that this is something that I have to do, but also like just as an instinct, like, and within your heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just one or the other, I don't think.
No, yeah. No, I agree. There's definitely an intellectual element to prudence. St. Thomas Aquinas talks, he has so much to say about prudence, it was almost a little overwhelming.
Yeah, it's in section 2, part 2 of the Summa.
Yeah, the Secunda Secunda.
I cannot remember what numbers, but I just remember it's in part 2 of part 2.
Just Google it.
Yeah. So, and then when we get back, we're going to continue this discussion on prudence, drinking this delicious beer, Westy 12. Thankful to Randall for sending it to us. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan. We have the pleasure of enjoying Juan Posada's company. Although quiet, mm-hmm. His presence
makes it a holier place.
Yeah, just his presence. Anyway, we're talking about prudence today,
mm-hmm.
We should have started off with prudence a long time ago.
Yeah, because it's like, if you're gonna work on one virtue, prudence is the one you should work on.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a... I've heard it said that you really can't work on one virtue. By working on one virtue, you simultaneously work on all of them. You know, like...
Well, okay. You know
what I'm saying?
You can work... Yeah,
but... I know what you mean. Yeah. In like real life, it certainly seems like you can grow in one virtue and not others, but...
Well, you focus on one, and then because you're focusing on one, it bleeds into all the others.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway.
That's how it goes.
But... prudence is where all virtue begins is in prudence. It's only because you have made it, like, you know, you have a decision in front of you. What should you do with your money?
Mm-hmm.
It's only because you made a prudent choice. You know, there are three stages to prudence. There's deliberation, judgment, and action. Okay, so you've gone through those and now you're into action. It's only because you have good prudence that you're now able to practice generosity, or that you're able to practice whatever else. I mean, insert whatever the situation is, whatever the virtue is, they all flow out of good prudence. Because if it's not prudent to give your money away in that situation,
mm-hmm.
then it's a violation of justice. You know, it's actually not a virtue.
Right.
It's an excess of, because the perfect virtue, the perfection of a virtue is in the moderation of a virtue.
Right.
Depending on the virtue.
Very G.K. Chesterton-esque.
Right. I mean, not all virtues have a moderation, right, like hope and faith.
Yeah. Theological virtues.
Yeah. So that's why I say it would have been good to start off. So... prudence is often referred to as the charioteer of mm-hmm. the virtues, because it is the...
It takes you to the all the others.
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard a Dominican priest one time talking about prudence, and he was giving the example of he was not promoting, you know, gladiators, but he was giving the example of gladiator, and the prudent part of a gladiator was not... For the intellectual and for the heart, we're talking about, you know,
yeah.
It's in his mind, he thinks of, okay, before he goes out there, he goes, if this person does this, then I'm going to do this, and he has his game plan. And then he goes out there, but he doesn't think about that as he's fighting. It's a reaction, because he's already game planned in his head that if something happens here, I'm going here. If something happens here, I'm going here. And it becomes a reaction. And the real gladiators, the ones who excelled in the Colosseum, were the ones who were able to exercise this, what he called prudence, because he had already thought about, here's what I'm going to do, and now I'm just now reacting.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting, but...
Well, that's why it's a virtue, because it's a habit.
Right, and it's something you have to exercise constantly. Mm-hmm. I think that it's... we talk about this brotherhood a lot, you know, of cultivating a brotherhood around you. But in order to, I think, thrive on prudence, I don't know, maybe you disagree, but I think in order to excel in or practice in prudence, you have to be able to say, okay, nope, this is what I'm going to do. Obviously, you ask counsel, you get counsel from other people, but if you're constantly asking counsel from every single person, you're not really exercising prudence because you're not making your own decisions.
Well, okay, so let's talk about that. I mentioned those three elements of prudence: deliberation, judgment, and action. Early in the last segment, we talked about there's a quickness and a slowness and a patience. In the deliberation, it is wise to be patient. A prudent decision is not made hastily, necessarily. Like your gladiator, he had already made that decision. You know, he's already decided these things. So it's not like he's making a hasty decision. But when you're faced with a difficult decision, there's a discernment process that needs to take place. Okay? It shouldn't be longer than it needs to be. Because once you have come to a judgment and you've made a choice, the prudent thing to do is now act quickly. Don't put it off.
Right.
Okay, so we're not we're not putting it off, we're not using it as an excuse, but we don't want to jump in and make a hasty decision.
Right.
However, as soon as we have arrived at what we believe the decision should be, act immediately. Okay?
I agree with that. Yeah, I think that's sound.
Yes. So when it comes to growing in patience...
you mean prudence?
Yes, thank you. Prudence.
It's okay, I'm patient with you.
Thank you. Praise God.
It's only because of my prudence.
So the catechism recommends a couple things.
Okay. Hit me up.
The first thing is seek counsel. So the Psalms speak a lot about prudence and wisdom. And so does the Book of Wisdom. And what's the other wisdom book? Sirach? No.
Wait, which ones have you said? Proverbs? Wisdom?
Proverbs. Yeah, so... in there, they talk a lot about good decisions. I mean, it's about, like, especially the Book of Wisdom.
Right.
It's about what to do. And they talk about how a man, even a young man, can be wise because he lives his tradition. And how he's been handed this tradition, and by following those traditions, allows him to live a wise, prudent life, even without experience. Okay, so seeking counsel can come from a variety of different sources. The tradition of the church is a solid, sure foundation.
That's a good one to go to.
From which you can draw counsel. The other would be someone that who is wise, you know, a parish, your priest, your pastor, your dad.
It may not be prudent to ask other people.
Well, it depends on the situation.
Sure, but I mean, I'm just saying, like, people can get into this habit of like, oh, maybe I should go ask my priest. Maybe I should go ask my dad. And it's like, well, they don't know the disposition that you were in. Like, they don't know what you're going through and what would be actually
good. Yeah, well, you got to pick the right person.
Right.
So, also takes prudence.
I think that's what I was trying to say when I was talking about going to people constantly. You need to...
you don't want to always do it, but, you know, if it's something that you don't know, you know, like, I've never done this, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, don't want to be dependent on other people to make your, you know, like, oh, I don't know. I'm too afraid to make the decision myself.
Right, exactly. That's kind of what I was.
So here's the Catechism 1787.
Okay.
Man is sometimes confronted by situations that make moral judgments less assured and decision difficult. But he must always seriously seek what is right and good and discern the will of God expressed in the divine law. To this purpose... man strives to interpret the data of experience and the signs of the times, assisted by the virtue of prudence, by the advice of competent people, and by help of the Holy Spirit and His gifts. I like that, the signs of the times. There's this one Bible passage where Jesus says something. It's like where the guy who is keeping the debts for the king, and the king forgives him a debt, and then he goes to someone who owes him money, and he doesn't forgive him. And then he's like, oh, well, maybe that's not... he's like forgiving everybody's debt. And Jesus says something to the effect of, the people of this age, you know, behave better than the children of light, or something. Okay. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about, but anyway.
anyway, this idea about reading the signs of the times. I mean, what was prudent yesterday might not be prudent today.
Well, what I like about what you just read was that we're really talking about doing kind of a Martha Mary thing, the good versus the great. You know, mm-hmm. because there's a lot of times where you could do something that's really good. Should I be writing a blog post? Should I be, recording a Catholic Man Show episode? Should I be mowing the yard? There's a lot of things that are good things to do. But is it the best thing that you should be doing right now? As you know, the disposition that you are in right now, is this the best thing to do? And that's where prudence comes in, is mm-hmm. is knowing what is the best thing to do at this point, not what is a good thing to do.
Yeah, because they could all be good things.
Right.
Yeah. Another thing that I think is a really good idea is getting a mentor or a spiritual director. You know, it could be either one. I mean, there's a lot of great reasons to have a spiritual director. But
they're tough to come by right now.
I think they always have been.
Yeah.
I mean,
I shouldn't have said right now. I meant they are tough to come by. Yeah.
Good ones.
Mm-hmm.
Especially.
And that's why brotherhood is important.
Yeah. But having a mentor, having, you know, someone that you really view as like, this is the kind of man I want to be. I just really think that's a good idea, a good thing to do. And especially if it's in the form of a spiritual director.
Yeah, absolutely. Or a saint. And go read a saint.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
You know, go read the saint's biography of a saint and mm-hmm. figure out, okay, this is what they were doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But having a spiritual director, you have the ability to place yourself under their obedience. You place your obedience under them. Whatever.
Yeah.
You're being obedient to them.
Right.
And there's a lot of spiritual growth that's going to take place there.
I think one of the main things for us today is we know what's typically the bad versus good decisions are very clear cut. The ones that are not are the ones that are good versus great decisions, and that's where prudence comes in. It's what should I be doing right now at work? What should I be doing right now driving? What should I be doing right now when I get home with my wife and kids?
Yeah,
because there's a lot of things that we can be doing. There's a lot of things that could be good things to do, but is that the best thing to be doing at this point?
Right, because that's what prudence is. It's like Saint Augustine said, you know, that thing that will bring you the closest to God.
Yeah, and that's what I struggle with. I struggle with that all the time, figuring out exactly what I should be doing right now.
Mm-hmm. I spend so much time worrying about it that I just get nothing done at all.
Man, Randall, thank you so much for sending us this beer today. It has been absolutely delicious.
Yeah, talk about a prudent decision.
That was a prudent one. And he acted on it quickly.
Oh, man.
So
What a guy.
Anyway, thank you so much for tuning in. Visit thecatholicmanshow.com for other episodes. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
And cheers to Jesus.